Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We've spent the last several weeks studying Hebrews chapter 11 in our Wednesday night class. And when I think about that verse and I think about our worship today, I think about this table. And I think about, as we gather around this table, recognizing the hope that we have through the death of a man we didn't know. I wasn't there. And I dare say that none of you were there on the day that Christ died on that cruel cross. We know the reasons why he died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have been saved through him. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." And then in 1 Peter 1 and 3, it says, "God had granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and existence." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. But yet, what about those other things that we've not seen? What about this man Christ, and what about that death? How do we know that that really happened? Well, you don't have to go any further than the scriptures to kind of prove that the death of Jesus was in fact real. Luke 23, 44 through 49 says, "It was about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, saying, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." His death was a public execution by crucifixion. His disciples, his enemies, the Jewish leaders, all of Jerusalem who walked outside the city of Golgotha had witnessed that death. And I would suggest to you that with crucifixion being the primary form of dealing with criminals, they knew when somebody was alive and when somebody was dead. It says the Roman soldiers carried out their duty with efficiency, making sure that Jesus was in fact dead, even to the point that one soldier thrust a spear into the side of Jesus' lifeless body. But there's still other evidence to show that Jesus had in fact died. There was a member of the council, a disciple of Jesus, Joseph Arimathea, asked Pilate, the Roman governor, if he could have Jesus' body, that he might prepare and bury it. In Mark chapter 15, verses 44 and 45, we see yet another evidence to confirm that Jesus was dead, because before granting Jesus' request, Pilate, surprised that he was already dead, asked the centurion, and the centurion confirmed that Jesus was in fact dead. Nicodemus, another man of high rank, of high character, assisted Joseph in removing Jesus' body from the cross, wrapping it in clean linen cloth and carrying it to the new tomb. A tomb that was freshly hewn. It was Joseph's own tomb, unused in a garden near Golgotha. The rock tomb precluded from anyone from digging in through the back that may have been able to go in and steal the body. And then following Jewish custom, the body was wrapped in linen cloths with a mixture of spices and ointments and myrrhs and aloes. There was a large stone that was rolled in front of the tomb, inspected and secured by his enemies. Roman soldiers assigned to guard the tomb, preventing anyone from trying to go in and steal the body. Yet we know that a group of women came. They came further to anoint Jesus' body and began to wonder how they were going to get in to, with the stone being in front. Yet when they arrived, they found the rock rolled away and the body gone. What had happened? Acts 2:20-24, Paul, preaching the first gospel sermon, says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourself know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." They had the signs. They had the wonders. They saw the things that Jesus did while he was alive, yet they didn't believe. And yet we base our faith each week around this table, recognizing the fact that Jesus had died. And he had died because God loved us so much that he sent himself to die for us. God is rich in his mercy and his grace. God loved us and has sent his son to die for us. And he has provided a way through Christ that we can live with him eternally in heaven. Okay. You pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we gather around the table this morning commemorating and remembering the death of Christ, remembering the love that you had in that you sent Christ to die for us. Father, there's no way that we can understand the agony that we went through. We can read about the accounts of his death. We can read about the accounts of the resurrection, and we base our faith on those things being true. Father, we at this time are mindful of the death of Christ and the resurrection and the hope that we have through that death. Father, we ask that you bless this bread, which represents the body of Jesus and represents his dying on the cross for us. Father, we hope that we partake in a manner that's well-pleasing. Remember the sacrifice that he made for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so will you give thanks for the cup?
Dear God, thank you for letting us all assemble here today to remember you and remember what you did to us as we take the cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.